Good morning and welcome to Grace. I'm Pastor Ryan. Today's message will be given by one of our elders, Chris Kuzak. Chris will be covering what is very often a confusing or even controversial discipline in the modern church, the role of admonishment inside of our fellowship. We will see that much like other disciplines, admonishment must be expressed for one another's good and grounded in God's word. Thanks for listening today as Chris challenges us from the scriptures towards a biblical model of admonishment.
Let's see. So, we are talking about admonishment today. Lane's gotten us up to this point in the service pretty quickly. That stops now. We got a lot to talk about. I'm just kidding. We'll get you out of here quick. So we're still in the Playing Church series, which has been a really I think challenging and edifying series. I hope you agree. There have been some things that have been hard to swallow, but also a lot of things that have been just a real blessing. Some things that have been eye-opening to a lot of us, and I hope you feel the same way. We continue that today with admonishment, which I ended up with that topic. I don't know, Paul got, what was it, hospitality, and I got admonishment. But I guess it's because he's good at hospitality. If you know Paul, Paul and Paul are the most hospitable people. I guess that means I'm good at criticizing people. I don't know. My hospitality is like, have you ever seen the Samuel L. Jackson meme where he's standing in his white tank top looking angrily out at the driveway of somebody coming up to, I think it was the police coming to arrest him. That's me. Like, you can ask my life group at 8 o'clock. I'm like, gotta get out of here. So yeah, I'll do admonishment, Paul. That'll be my expertise. So as we look at this topic, and we'll get into the definitions here in a second. All right, it's not working again. This happens to me every time. You want to just advance the slide? Okay, just stay there. Admonishment. We'll get into the definition in a second, but here's what you need to know. There are two sides to admonishing or admonishment. One is receiving it, and two is giving it, right? The only thing more uncomfortable than giving admonishment is receiving admonishment. So what's going to be important as we go through this is that you kind of put yourself in the position of understanding this from both sides. And every point I'm going to make, I want you to kind of think about it as if you're being the one that's receiving admonishment. And also, if you found yourself in a position where you had to give admonishment, I want you to think about both of those positions, because if we're going to do this right, everybody's going to have an opportunity to give it, and everybody's going to have an opportunity to receive it. So we need to be prepared on both of those. Go ahead. So this is what I'm talking about, admonishment. It's basically exhortation. Sometimes you call it rebuke. Rebuke tends to be more advanced in firmness, but admonishment is a loving warning or correction given to a fellow believer. This is the biblical definition, by the way. A fellow believer with the intent of instructing and encouraging them to align their mindset with God's truth. It's generally given in response to an observed sinful or harmful behavior. So, this is in the body. It's in the family. We're going to talk about it more, but it's not like we're not out there policing the world. This is happening inside the church. So when we see something inside the church, this is how we handle that. Our text today is 1 Thessalonians 5:14, if you wanted to get there in your Bible. It's a very short one line for today. And we'll go through that quick. Everybody got it? I'm going to assume you do. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. So, that is the command that we are given when it comes to admonishment. And just so you know, I'm gonna use two terms just to kind of keep us straight here. The admonisher, right, is going to be the person giving the admonishment. So if you're the admonisher, you've observed something and you're going to talk to that person. If you're the admonishee, that's a word that doesn't exist. I just made it up. The admonishee obviously is the person that's receiving admonishment. So a couple of just quick additions to the definition, just so we're clear. And again, we'll kind of get through some of this stuff later. But admonishment is not church discipline, okay? Discipline is a more serious level of something that when someone's unrepentant, essentially. This is not what we're talking about. This is when we see somebody doing something that's... it's not good. It's not good for their soul. It's not serving God. It's not glorifying Him. It's not helping the body be unified. That's going to happen first. Admonishment would be like the first thing you're going to do. And it's going to happen not necessarily with leadership. It's going to happen between everybody in the church, right? It's a one-on-one thing. But it is not discipline. Discipline is when the elders get involved, right? Discipline is sort of our job. So let's go through your bulletin notes. Yeah, you can go to the next one. Okay, so observations. The first one, admonishment occurs between brothers and sisters in the family of God, like I said. This is not... just, again, responsibility of leadership. This happens between everybody who would call himself a Christian should be willing to give and receive admonishment. And the reason is because it has to be done with love. The thing I think about is, I've used this illustration before from my own childhood, but there was a time. So we used to go to my grandpa's all the time when we were kids and work in his garden. He had probably the whole 40 acres planted with something in his retirement. And he had me one time take the weed whacker into his garden and clear the rows between his plants, right? And there was this plant, I don't know what it was, I can picture it, I couldn't tell you what it is, but he said, don't cut that plant down. There was one, all by itself, and there was a bunch of weeds around it. So I cut it down, and immediately turned into like, you know, the story of Adam and Eve, like, oh my goodness, we're naked, like, like, where's my grandpa's going to find out I did this? I'm terrified, right? So I'm just, like, you get that, you know, that pit in your stomach, and I continue doing everything, being very careful now. I could picture it. I hit it, and I backed off, and it went, like that. So I finished up, and I'm trying to avoid him, and finally he comes and gets me. He says, come here, and we go right to the thing, and he says, you cut that down. And I said, no, I didn't. it was worth a shot, right? And this will stay with me forever. He said, yeah, you did, but it's okay. That short sentence was so impactful because I knew he loved me. I had accountability, right? But it was okay. That's how admonishment should occur in the body, right? It should be loving. It should be something to let the person know, like, we're committed to each other. That's really what's at the bottom line here. Okay, number two. Oh, I'm sorry, we've got... So the guy on vacation put these slides together and he clearly mixed them up. So we already went through this. Actually, he didn't. That was supposed to be in there. I had highlighted their brothers and sisters. That's why it was there. You're going to see it again two more times and I'm still going to pick on them. All right. So number two, we've got the purpose of admonishment is to help someone bring their thinking and or actions into alignment with God's word. So again, the whole point here is that this happens within the church. There's a lot of people that like to claim, you know, Christianity, claim Christ, that don't believe in going to church, that don't believe in the body of Christ, that don't believe that's part of the commitment or the life with Christ. This admonishment, all this stuff we're really talking about in this series are how we are to be sanctified, right? What good is it if you say, okay, God, I trust you, and I'm just going to lock myself in my room and read my Bible every day. That is not what we are commanded to do, right? We're commanded to go out there and preach the gospel, to walk with our brothers and sisters, encourage them, edify them. So, you can go to the next slide. So here's that again. So if you look, warn those who are idle and disruptive. The whole point here is to address things that aren't aligned with what God has commanded us, right? So when somebody's being idle or disruptive, that's obviously not godly. That's not what we're commanded to do. So that's the whole point there. Who do we admonish or who needs admonishment? People who are engaging in things that aren't good, right? Good in terms of scripture. And we're going to talk more about that. Okay, you can go to number three. As I mentioned, admonishment is to be done with love for the good of the admonishee and the body. So here's the thing with sin, right? We tend to, again, we look at our relationship with Christ as a personal thing, and that's absolutely true. We need every one of us to have a personal relationship with Christ. Sin, as we all know, is going to be a problem in that relationship, and Christ died to clear that up. However, sin not only affects your walk and your soul, it affects those around you. It affects the church body as a whole. When you are caught in sin, it is going to somehow affect your neighbor here in the family. And that's really why this is so important, right? It's not just for us. It's not just to say, okay, I need to grow in my faith. It's to protect the flock as well. It's to protect ourselves from being, from drifting, right? And having disunity and all this other stuff. If you go to the next slide, please. So we urge you, brothers and sisters, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. You kind of wonder why that's in there, because that's not admonishment. That's other stuff, right? That's encouragement and help and being patient. The reason is because this is for the good of the body. That's what we're illustrating here. This is what Paul is getting at. If you read the surrounding text, he's talking about the whole body. Go ahead to the next one. That's the whole point, right? We need to make sure that we're looking not just at our own soul and our own relationship with Christ, but our brothers and sisters and making sure that they're not stumbling and helping them in love when that happens. When we shirk that responsibility, by the way, you're going to have disunity. You're going to have unrepentant sin running loose. A good example is really in our present day, right? you see a church with a rainbow flag on the outside, that is a church that did not admonish one another. That is a church that affirmed instead of admonished. They affirmed sin rather than addressing it biblically. And again, we're going to get into what are the standards we need to be looking at before we do this. But that's what happened. I don't even think that's the end of the line as far as what happens. But that's what we're seeing all over the place, is these progressive churches who are acting and teaching very ungodly things. We've got to watch for that, and we've got to address it when it happens. So for our conclusions, number one, proper admonishment requires that both the admonisher and the admonishee have a relationship with Christ and with each other. This doesn't work if you don't first have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, it basically just becomes me judging you for the things I think you're doing wrong, right? Also, if we don't have a personal relationship already, it's going to be the same thing. It's just going to be me. You're going to receive it as me judging you. And in fact, that's probably what's happening. If I don't know you, how can I admonish you properly? So this is where it gets critical that we understand this tool as it's given to us. Again, this happens within the church. Now, we know that the church extends beyond these four walls, right? But it's important to recognize when it is your responsibility and when it is not. Even within the greater church family, if you don't have some personal connection with somebody, admonishment isn't going to, one, it's not going to work. Two, it's going to be received poorly, and it's probably going to actually make things much worse. So if you see something, my advice would be, if you see something in somebody you know as a Christian in another church, the first step in admonishment is getting to know that person, right? And we will talk a little bit more about our applications, but this isn't something where we just start looking for problems everywhere we go. This is when a problem presents itself within our loved family, we address it. Thank you. You're doing a great job. It's really, that's awesome. So for this, again, Christ, each other. That's the point of this illustration, this conclusion. And here's where we see it played out in Colossians 3:15-17, which was our New Testament reading. You can see where I've underlined, let the peace of Christ, so there's Christ, rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, that's us, right, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you, there's Christ again, richly, as you teach and admonish one another, there we are. All wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether word or deed, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And just a note too on that. Dave Anderson one time quoted that to me. I had no idea he was quoting scripture, honestly, but we were at somebody's house and we were doing Helping Hands project, and that was I'm not an electrician, but I know how to wire an outlet, and we were doing some electrical, and somebody thought you shouldn't be doing that because you're not an electrician, and they told me that. And so I took it to Dave and I'm like, what's your judgment on this? You want me to do it or you want me not to? And he said that, whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's like, that's how we need to proceed with everything, right? Okay. We are not called, again, to police the world. This is something that happens within the church. So in this, in 1 Corinthians 5, 9-13, we have Paul saying, I wrote to you, to you in my letter not to associate with the sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave the world. But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy and an idolater or slanderer or drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. So here we have Paul telling us, look at, don't, the world is going to be evil, right? Like, we're not going out there to fix the behavior of the world. And this is where it gets a little blurry, right? Because Jesus told us to go out in the world. So what do we do? What we do is we take the gospel to the world. And we can point out sins, right? That is not admonishment. That's a call to repentance. But we need to have the gospel along with that. We're not going out there just saying, hey, abortion is evil. Like, abortion is evil because of God's word. And there's forgiveness in Christ if you've done that. But stop doing it. Come to Christ. Let him purify your heart, right? That's not an admonishment. That's the gospel. So that's what we do in the world. We know there's evil in the world. There's evil in the church, right? But we handle it differently, depending on where it's happening. So if it's a brother or sister, we start with admonishment. If it's in the world, we start with the gospel. We point out their sins, but we've got to give them the gospel in that. You can't just go out there and say, you're doing wicked things, and leave it at that, because there's no hope in that message. Okay. So, we can go on to the next one. Number two, conclusion. The admonisher communicates directly with the admonishee. Admonishment happens one-on-one. Again, rebuke, which is sometimes used synonymously with admonishment. A lot of times rebuke happens more in a public setting, or it can happen one-on-one. But again, discipline is always for the elders, and it's a group thing, not necessarily the whole church, but it's always going to be more formal. But admonishment should always be two people talking, whenever possible, face-to-face, especially whenever possible. So there's a great example of this in Scripture. If you turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12, I'm going to read it off my sheet here. While you're finding that, just to give you the lead up to this Scripture, it's going to be 2 Samuel chapter 12, 1 through 7. This is immediately after the whole ordeal with King David and Bathsheba, right? So you know what happens. He sees a pretty lady and has an affair, and then she gets pregnant, and then he essentially has the lady's husband murdered. This husband, who's a general in the army, who's very faithful to David, and has him murdered. And now that's a pretty significant example, right? This in today's church, if you had an affair and then had the husband murdered, I think church discipline is probably where we'd start, right? But what I'm illustrating here is really how the communication happened. So that's what I want you to focus on. So starting at verse 1, the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over, because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." I'm going to stop there. So again, the Lord sends Nathan directly to communicate with David face to face. And he gives him this illustration of what he's done, with him not even realizing that's what he's talking about. David, you know, the light goes on when he says, "You're the man." But he's done a terrible thing. But Nathan communicated that directly with him. What I'm really getting at here is gossip is not appropriate. There is no time where gossip should happen. Could Nathan have gone to, you know, one of David's concubines or one of his other servants? Sure, but that wouldn't have been appropriate. It was much more impactful and proper and loving for him to approach David directly and have that conversation, which was a hard conversation, I'm sure, for Nathan, but also for David, right? So there should be no discussions in the car on the way home about, "Did you see how that person was doing this and this and that?" Approach them directly. That's the right way to handle that. Now, there are a couple of exceptions I want to make sure to mention these. Like, it's certainly appropriate to seek counsel from the elders before you do this, just to make sure your thinking is right. It's better yet to pray and go before the Lord. But if you need to discuss it with another person, make it an elder so it's held in confidence. Also, if there are things like this where murder is happening, yeah, you got to take that to law enforcement, right? Don't hold on to that. So if there's safety concerns or something like that, like, yes, then that's not gossip. That's doing your duty as a citizen of God and making sure people are protected. But for the things that we all are probably going to deal with, you know, the small things, like, go to the person directly. That's really the point there. Okay, number three conclusion. Both the admonisher and the admonishee must base their assessment on Scripture. So what does that mean? We're all guilty of this, right? To look at our fellow human beings here who are all sinners just like us and say, "That's not how you're supposed to be doing that." Now, that may be true and it may be false based on Scripture, but you better make sure you're judging based on Scripture first. Because our flesh, because we are sinners, our flesh is going to want to look at them and say, "Yeah, I'm better. So here's what I got to talk about. I got to tell you something. You're not as good as me." That's the approach a lot of us will take if we don't slow down and make sure we are being godly in this. And obviously, that's sinful. Like, if we do that, if we judge our brother and sister based on ourselves and try to set the standard based on that, it's sinful. Let's go to Matthew 7. Here we have Jesus saying, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." I think that's pretty clear. We need to approach this, first of all, humbly and assessing ourselves first, if we are the admonisher, right? If you're the admonishee, our flesh, our sin, is going to want to respond in pride. Basically, we're gonna want to say, "Hold on, no, this isn't sinful. I'm awesome. I'm sure of it." You know, our initial, sort of our default position, and I think we've all experienced this, is to face criticism with resistance, and that is pride, right? So you're going to have to fight through that to make sure that you, you're able to receive admonishment and grow in sanctification. For this, there are about 100 proverbs that will talk about this particular topic, discipline and correction, but this is my favorite. See if you can spot why. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. I love when the Lord is blunt with us. There it is. Discipline is not comfortable for anybody, but it's part of wisdom. It's part of growing. It's part of who we will ultimately become as we seek to grow closer to Christ and grow more into His image, right? By the way, a great way to admonish someone is to, because here's what's going to happen. You're gonna find in your brothers and sisters the things that you struggle with yourself or have struggled with. You're going to spot those first. For me, it's drinking, right? I struggle with drinking. I'm very sensitive when somebody's stepping over that line of that's becoming a problem. There are other things, right? But the way you've struggled is the first thing you're going to notice in others. And that is it's a double-edged sword, because one, if you've overcome that in Christ, you could have a tendency to say, look at, I did it, and this is why you need to do it, you know? It has nothing to do with it. I should never enter into that equation, right? This is about what Scripture says about drunkenness. So you're gonna have a tendency to see those things first, and my advice to you, the best way to approach that is to talk about your own struggles, right? Not to talk about your successes and why, because you've been delivered from something, this person should also seek to fix that behavior. It's ultimately, this is all up to the Holy Spirit, right? We aren't going to fix anybody. It's all God. We're just the mouthpiece here. But a great way to approach this is humbly asking somebody else, you know, for help, or to hear your testimony and how that affected you. And that's how you can build that connection. And if they resist, they're stupid. That's not necessarily the case, right? But, all right, number four. Be ready and willing to walk through it together, but let the Holy Spirit lead. Again, just to take that last point just a step further, this is all God. You are sort of acting as a prophet, if you will, if you're doing this properly, because you're gonna be speaking Scripture. You're gonna be pouring into them what God has written, and that's Him doing the work through you. But there's gonna be more work happening after the fact, and that's His. But if God wants you to be part of that, He's gonna let you know. You need to approach, if you're an admonisher, you need to approach this with the expectation that you might be signing up for something long-term. If you see somebody struggling with drinking and you approach them about it, you better be sure you are ready to just stay with them through the whole fight, because that is what admonishment is. We all need to be, that's what the church is, right? And this is where the rubber hits the road. We need to be ready to just fight with our brother or sister through whatever they're fighting through. That's really the crux of this whole thing. But again, don't forget, you aren't the Holy Spirit. Let God do His work, and don't try to usurp His position as the authority, right? You want to help them submit to God's authority, but you don't want to become the authority. So, again, it's really, there's a nuance there that can be hard to when you're struggling with somebody, it can be hard to separate those two things. But we have to be praying at all times to make sure we're not going the wrong way with everything. So this is a little in the weeds for an example, but it illustrates the point. Well, I think that that there needs to be unity and you know, the willingness to work with somebody. Way back at my last job, I first became a supervisor, and I had a couple people reporting to me, and there was a guy, Brian, who went to lunch and never came back. And my immediate response and assessment to that was, he's blowing off work. And he never came back in, and I didn't get a text or a call or anything. So the next morning, he did come in, and I went right into rebuke discipline mode, right? I went into, hey, you can't just disappear for an afternoon without saying something. Well, it turns out Brian went to the emergency room because he had some kind of stomach issue that was causing him too much pain that he wasn't able to even come back to work. So he went right to the hospital. And he was really upset with my reaction to that. I didn't even consider any of that. So that's kind of the illustration of, like, me not thinking about the person, right? Me thinking about the situation, but not the person. So I should have said, hey, you okay? What happened yesterday? You know, that's a better lead-in than just, you know, hitting them with the book. Really the point, again, is that there needs to be personal accountability on both sides and a willingness to just help somebody with whatever they're struggling with. Again, remember, as the admonisher, you're acting on God's behalf, not as God, but you're speaking on his behalf into that person in their life. For the admonishee, remember that your brother or sister is called to admonish you for your good and for the good of the body. But you answer to God. There are going to be times, and there have been times, and you've all experienced admonishment done really, really wrong. Everybody here has experienced it. That doesn't mean it's to be rejected outright, but we have to work through the offense, right? Admonishment done correctly is probably really hard to take. Admonishment done poorly is going to be infinitely worse. But try to remember, like, I got to listen to the Holy Spirit. That now, there are going to be times when somebody brings you something because they are judging you. And it is your job as the admonishee to then say, all right, God, do I take this advice? Do I do what this person is telling me, or do I not? And hopefully that'll drive you into Scripture. As the admonishee, you can seek counsel from elders or other people. That's your prerogative. The admonisher shouldn't be doing that as gossip, right? But if you've been told something, you can ask about it. What you don't want to do is drag the person through the mud who talked to you, who brought you the admonishment. But if you're not sure if it's something that you need to address, like, you should seek more counsel first from God himself, and then through your brothers and sisters, elders, whoever. Just because somebody brings you admonishment doesn't mean it's what God wants you to do, right? Because we're all sinners. We're going to have to sift through this mess. We're going to do this wrong on both sides. But be open to it is all I would ask. Like, God wants to work sanctification in your life, and this is how it's going to start. Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. We're going to offend each other, and we all know this. It's happened plenty of times to all of us, and still, if that person loves us and we know that they love us, we can take that. We can take that criticism. We can take that admonishment. And again, it might not be something that applies to you, but you can still be thankful that they're willing to take that step and speak into your life, right? And we should be thankful for it. Okay. Applications. We're getting to the end. So first, we'll start with the admonisher. The applications, if you are the admonisher, before giving admonishment, assess your motives to ensure they are godly. Again, our inclination is going to be to judge each other in pride. So we need to first look at ourselves and say, okay, am I judging this situation correctly? You should be praying before you ever approach somebody with any kind of criticism. And do it humbly. You know, look at your heart and just understand what God is teaching you. There may be, you may come to the conclusion that, hey, this is actually, I saw something that wasn't actually happening, but it's something that I need to address in my own life. You may become the admonishee if you try to admonish, and that's a good thing too, right? So we all need to be looking to God to assess everything that is going to happen here. Number two, when giving the admonishment, show the same grace that Christ has shown you. Really important. We've got to be loving to each other. One thing that happens very frequently with sinners like us is the Holy Spirit will convict you of something, right? And when we get convicted, our inclination is to convict others the same way. And that goes back to what I was talking about before, but you see it with your kids a lot, those who are raising young kids, like when one kid gets in trouble for something, a lot of times he'll go and yell at his brothers and sisters for the same things, right? That's not how that should work, right? There needs to be grace in all of this. You're not the judge, and the point is not to level judgment. The point is to bring grace to the situation and help them to grow. Do we have scripture for this one? Yeah. 1 Timothy 5 says, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with absolute purity." We need to approach all of our loved ones in a way that is loving and shows them grace the way we've been shown grace. So if you're the admonishee, when receiving admonishment, resist your inclination to respond in pride. Again, nobody likes receiving any kind of instruction, criticism, anything like that, even if it is given in love and grace. Our inclination is to resist that, and that is pride. That is our pride showing up. We've got to work within ourselves to squash that at all times, but especially when there's admonishment happening, because ultimately, even if the admonishment is not correct, you're going to learn through it. You're going to learn through the situation of somebody bringing you something that they think they see in your life that isn't accurate. It may be an opportunity for you to, you know, admonish them. But the whole point is we all grow through this situation. Now, I want you, I've been talking about, you know, if admonishment is wrong, you know, I want to make sure that you understand that we should accept it first and foremost as true, right? Coming from a brother or sister, we should accept it. That doesn't mean we have to acknowledge that we have that particular problem, but we should be willing to hear them out. And we might find that we actually do have that problem. We had no idea. If done correctly, all of us will admonish and receive admonishment, and we will all grow because of it. And again, we're going to screw it up and offend each other, but that's okay. The next one is be thankful that your brother or sister has your back. That's the most important thing. Be willing to have each other's back, but also be thankful that your brother and sister have your back. we've been through a lot of times where there have been things, right? We don't agree on everything, and God does not call us to agree on everything that are secondary or third issues of our faith. We need to agree on the primary things, and if you don't know what those are, come see me. I will help you. Jesus is God is the main one, and he died for our sins and rose again. The gospel, we have to agree on that because it is the absolute truth. But there are things God, I think, intentionally leaves vague in his word so that we can grow together through friction. Again, if you go lock yourself in your bedroom, you're never going to grow in your faith. You're never going to grow in sanctification. You're never going to look like Christ. It takes people challenging you to grow in your walk. And that's what God wants for us. The Holy Spirit is going to walk you through the whole thing. Try to just be loving to each other and be graceful. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today, and help us to just receive everything we've heard today with openness and a heart that's malleable. Lord, work with us to squash our pride on both sides of this topic, and help us to recognize that we need to grow closer to you and grow to look more like you on a daily basis. Lord, thank you for giving us the tools and the loving family here to do that with. Just have us to treat each other the way you would treat us, and look to you always in whatever comes up in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.